All right, welcome back to the show. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. This is Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic, embarking on hour number two. And you know what that means. The 9 o'clock segment means it is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you, as always, by the PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Patrick. Fresh off his eighth place finish at the Players' Championship, after starting Sunday's final round tied for second, Tiger Woods posted a final round 1-over-par 73, despite his post-tournament protestations that he is, quote, not far off, end quote. Woods is struggling with his swing, and right now it seems, Pat, that he has a two-way miss, both right and left. We used to see him always have that push to the right miss, but now he's got a duck hook left miss that's kind of rearing its ugly face. Question to you, is Tiger Woods in a slump?
Absolutely not. This guy is the best golfer of all time. I've conceded it. I'm a big Jack Nicklaus fan, as you know, and our audience knows, but nonetheless, Tiger is just unbelievable. With that said, he does have some swing issues. You know, as you mentioned, this duck hook, which is something that I fight all the time, you know, and that's something that, as you mentioned, Tiger hasn't had in his repertoire before. So I think it is an issue with him. I think you can see some of the frustration that he's had with Hank Haney and trying to get this thing rectified. You can deal with one or the other, Russ. You can always deal with if you're blocking it and doing what you need to do to rectify that, or if you're hooking it, you can do what you need to do to rectify that. But if you're doing both, it creates a lot of confusion in your mind as to which way you're going to hedge on each swing. So I think Tiger has some stuff to work out. But nonetheless, even with that going on, Russ, he's still shooting 68, 69, 70 under unbelievably difficult conditions. Didn't have anything last week really in that last round at TPC and still managed to get himself again in the top 10. So is he in a slump for him? Yes. But for the mortal golfer, absolutely not. I still think he's probably not going to have as great a year this year as he did even last year in an abbreviated schedule. But nonetheless, you've already seen him win at Bay Hill. I think he'll win at least one, two more tournaments, and he'll definitely be in contention at the U.S. Open at Bethpage. So he's in a slump for him, but I think he'll figure out a way out of it.
I agree with you, Pat. I don't think he's in a slump necessarily. I would say for him, and he's not going to have a quote-unquote typical Tiger Woods season because he is struggling with that swing, and we're now seeing a two-way miss, which we don't usually see from Tiger. Let's not forget, he has finished in the top 10 in all of his past 17 stroke play tournaments worldwide. Top 10s in all of the last 17 stroke play events he's played in. Most recently, 8th place finish last week at TPC Sawgrass. He has won 11 of his past 19 starts worldwide, including two majors. So he's still, you know, putting up Hall of Fame caliber numbers. They're just not as incredible as we're used to seeing from Tiger, say, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in the past. One last note on Tiger Woods before we move on. Lee Trevino has offered to give Tiger Woods a lesson. The Merrimex has sent word to Woods through mutual friend Marco Mira to give him a call, and he's serious. Trevino said, quote, Tiger needs to learn how to hit a power fade. If he learns how to drive the ball, he won't lose a tournament. He's got nothing to lose. Just give me a call. Heck, I would go fly to him. He wouldn't have to do anything. Trevino is a big fan of Tiger and Tiger's instructor, Hank Haney. He said he can improve the world's number one driving accuracy with just one lesson. Interesting stuff. Lee Trevino saying he wants to take Tiger kind of under his wing and teach him a power fade, which it seems Tiger doesn't have right now. And I think that'd be great. If Tiger had that in his bag, he would have a go-to shot off the tee.
Well, I mean, I agree with Trevino on the fact that if he could drive the ball consistently in the fairway, I don't think he would ever lose. And we've always said that, Russ. If he just hit his 3-wood or even 5-wood off the tee, if in a way he could check your ego, which I know it's kind of difficult to do that on the PGA Tour, only hitting a 3-wood. But if he could do that and sacrifice a little bit of distance to make sure he's in play, I just don't believe there's anybody stronger from fairway to green and then on the greens than Tiger. His biggest issue is getting off the tee. So, hey, I think, you know, Lee Trevino is a Hall of Famer, multiple major winner, and he doesn't offer advice that often. It's not like you hear Lee Trevino telling people, oh, I'd do this with him or that. This is really the first time I've ever heard Lee Trevino speak about any real modern golfer and trying to help him. So, wouldn't be surprised if Tiger did something with him, but I, you know, Tiger's probably going to try and work things out with Hank Haney first. All right, number two going to you, Russ. Annika Sörenstam, the number one player in the world up until recently on the LPGA Tour, obviously retiring after the end of last year, her farewell tour. The reason she did retire is because she wanted to start a business and have a family. And she announced recently on her blog that her and her husband, Mike McGee, are going to become the parents of a baby girl. To use golf terms, we just made the turn, quote unquote, from a timing standpoint, and are very excited that everything looks good so far. Sörenstam said, we'll keep you posted. Your thoughts, Russ?
So they just made the turn, so we can expect a new baby girl in the Sörenstam hyphen McGee family, or is it McGee hyphen Sörenstam family? Hell, Mike McGee should probably take the Sörenstam surname.
I think
surname.
Mike would be, yeah.
But we can expect a baby girl in about 4.5 months then, right? Because they say they're just making the turn. So is this little girl going to have some golfing talent or what? I would not be surprised to see Ladbrokes in England putting out odds for little baby girl Sörenstam and little baby boy Woods, Tiger Woods' son, Charlie Axel, and Annika Sörenstam's daughter, whatever her name might end up being. Which one wins the first pro major? They're going to be about the same age. Tiger's son will be about a year older.
The funny thing with this, Russ, is I don't know, you can't project. You don't know what kind of talent or even if the kid's going to have an interest in playing golf. But I will tell you this, if this young baby grows up and wants to play golf, she's going to have a tremendous amount of pressure on her. You know, Mike McGee's no slouch himself, comes from a golfing family. So if this girl does choose to take up golf, she's going to have a lot of pressure on her, being the daughter of, probably, arguably the greatest female golfer of all time.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. We are entrenched in our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. We do it each and every week here on the program, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number three, Tony Romo, Dallas Cowboys quarterback, trying to qualify for not one, but two big-time golf tournaments last week, on Monday and Tuesday of last week. A triple bogey on the 16th hole all but ended Tony Romo's bid to qualify for the HP Byron Nelson Championship this past Tuesday at the Stonebridge Ranch Country Club in Dallas. The Cowboys quarterback finished with a 7-over par 79. He was at +2 overall, which likely would have put him in the tournament. When he came to the 16th hole, he shot into the deep rough, and then he went on to bogey the final two holes as well. It was the second time in as many days that the 16th hole damaged a potential good score for Romo. On Monday, in the U.S. Open sectional qualifying, Romo also had a triple bogey to end his day. So question for you, Pat. Tony Romo, obviously a very good golfer. He shot 84 last year at Torrey Pines in the inaugural U.S. Open Challenge, and now he's coming awfully close to qualifying for both the U.S. Open and the Byron Nelson. He didn't get it done, but he's probably going to keep trying. How close is he to qualifying for one of these events in the future?
Well, it sounds like if he could, get rid of that 16th hole, he might be there for both of those tournaments. But the real deal is, Russ, I think when you're trying to work at another career, which is football for Romo, and do this kind of on the side, it's very difficult, to get the practice sessions in, to do what you need to do to mentally and physically prepare to try to qualify for these events. Even though a lot of amateurs do this every year and they are able to get in to these various events, for a guy like Romo, he's probably not picking up a club from about mid-July until, when the Cowboys season ends sometime in January. So, he's got a good 6-7 months there where he's not picking up a club at all. So I would expect it's May. He probably had about 3 months to work on his game. And that's just not enough for most, even high-end amateurs, when they get into a situation where they're qualifying for an event, either a pro event or the U.S. Open. It's just very difficult to get your short game, to get your timing, to get your mental stability to the point where obviously he's got some kind of a mental block with that 16th hole. And when you're playing a lot, you can figure out a way to play that hole and overcome it. And when you're not, stuff like that's going to happen. So I think he's close, but he's not going to be there, I don't think, until he's done with football.
Tony Romo, last thought on this topic before we move on to our fourth and final topic, and that is Tony Romo, relatively new name to the world of celebrity golf. Obviously, he's not new to golf itself. He's been playing golf for a long time. You're not a 2-handicap by accident. You don't take up the game and 3 years later, all of a sudden you're a 2-handicap, unless you're some kind of savant. So Romo's been playing the game for a while, but relatively new to the celebrity landscape of golf. And I'm curious, the top 10 greatest celebrity golfers, the list, we know the names. Rick Roden, Jack Wagner, Dan Quinn, Dennis Quaid, Kenny G, those types of guys are on that list. I'm curious where Tony ranks on that list because he's got to be somewhere near some of those top names. He's that good.
We'll have to check that list out, right? Because, yeah, a lot of those guys are older and they've been around forever, and Tony's just really taking it up for the celebrity part of it recently. So we'll have to monitor that. Number four, going to you, Russ, final topic. The PGA Tour estimates its donations to charity will decline by as much as 14% this year, the result of an economic downturn that is affecting everything from sponsors to hospitality sales. PGA Tour events are structured as nonprofit organizations that donate proceeds to local charities. Tim Fincham, the commissioner, said that the tour last year raised $124 million for charity, and his estimate means the tour is on pace to give $12 to $17 million less this year in 2009. My question, what, if anything, should the tour do about this?
Well, I don't think there's any question. The PGA Tour needs to do something to make up that gap. That 14% gap needs to be made up, and I think the PGA Tour should take it upon themselves to do it, whether it's finances from in-house. We know that the PGA Tour is a very wealthy organization, and they've got cash reserves. The PGA Tour helps subsidize each and every tournament purse. One of two things needs to happen. A, PGA Tour needs to take from their finances and make up that 14% difference. Or B, the PGA Tour needs to convince its members, i.e. the players, to donate between 10 and 15% of their winnings at the end of this year. Say every PGA Tour player, once they have an idea for what their winnings number is, take it upon themselves to donate 10% of those winnings back, or 15%, whatever number they decide on. But I think it's very important in this down economic time. Listen, PGA Tour is all about charity, right? That's part of their branding initiative, is the drive to a billion. Now they've passed $1 billion in charitable givings all time. Now they're at $1.4 billion. Now it's all about the drive to $2 billion. When you make charity such a front and center theme of what you're all about, you've got to back that up. This is an opportunity for the PGA Tour to back it up by making up that 14% difference so that charities don't feel the brunt of the economic downturn right now.
Well, I think that last point is your best one, Russ. They have made this a focal point of the PGA Tour, the amount they do give to charity. You know, this is, you know, the reason why we've been talking about Obama wanting to, and the Congress wanting to restrict the amount of money that corporations can give to something like golf, because they feel like it's frivolous. So the PGA Tour made it a real initiative this year to say, look, this isn't frivolous. This is a big part of what we do, is charitable giving. So I think that's the best point. But if you look at just almost just an overhead view of charity, the whole thing about charity is you give what you think you can give to it. And some years you might not have as much to give as you do in other years. And while that's not great for the charity, that's just life. I think the PGA Tour can get away, if they want to, for this year because of the economy and say, you know, we just can't figure it out. We can figure it out. We just don't have as much money to give you. But what they should probably do is think of a plan next year, just like you're talking about, asking the players to give more, they themselves giving more, whatever. So you don't have 2 years or 3 years of down money, you know, giving to these charities. So then that becomes the norm. Now that you're not giving X amount each year, you're giving a lot less than that. And that hurts really what they've been trying to do, which is make themselves really an entity that is very charitable oriented, and that plays out over a lot of things. Cynical to say it, but it does. It helps you with if you're trying to get something done with the government or whatever, you've got to make yourself relevant somehow, and the PGA Tour is trying to do that through charity. So I think they're okay this year if they want to blame it on the economy, but they have to come up with a plan next year and get players to buy into it, or figure out a way, like you said, just to give it to them themselves.
Okay, very well said, Pat. That was another award-winning edition of the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful, four to be exact, hot topics in the world of golf, and it is brought to you, as always, by PGA National Resort and Spa. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. We're going to take a quick break right now. We're coming right back. Keep it tuned right here. Russ and Pat with you. This is the Golf Exchange.